The wrong order. The rain was not merely falling. It was being aggressively applied to the landscape, like a layer of gray varnish that nobody had asked for. The kind of rain that wasn't content to simply make you wet. It wanted you to understand that this was personal. "It has majesty," Roland shouted over the sound of the wind, which sounded suspiciously like the world screaming into a pillow. He adjusted his cape, which was currently acting less like a symbol of heroism and more like a very wet, very heavy towel. Water streamed from the fabric in sheets, pooling in the mud around his boots. "It has dignity. It commands respect. It sounds like a drinking competition for royalty," Nick said. She was walking in that particular way she had when annoyed, which involved sliding between raindrops rather than walking through them. How she managed it, no one knew. Roland suspected magic. Fizzle suspected spite. "The Order of the Crown Tankard. It implies we get drunk, but, you know, expensively. It implies victory," Roland countered, wiping a sodden lock of hair from his eyes. It immediately fell back, plastering itself to his forehead like a commitment to failure. "A tankard is a vessel of celebration. A crown is a symbol of authority. Put them together, and what do you have?" "A king with a drinking problem," Fizzle supplied helpfully. The gnome was currently riding inside Bash's backpack, having declared the ground too wet for efficient locomotion, approximately 3 minutes into the storm. Only her head was visible, topped with a hat that was smoking slightly despite the downpour. Every few seconds, a raindrop would hit the brim and sizzle. "It is a metaphor," Roland insisted, his voice taking on that particular tone of wounded nobility he used when losing arguments. "For fullness. For a cup that runneth over with justice. My boots are runneth and over with mud," Nix muttered. "Can we please just go back to the rusty tankards? Or those idiots?" "I liked those idiots. Felt accurate. It managed expectations. Nobody hires those idiots expecting competence. So when we don't burn down their village, everyone's pleasantly surprised." "We only burned down one village," Fizzle protested from the backpack, "and it was already mostly on fire when we got there. I merely unified the situation." "We are rebranding," Roland said firmly, attempting to wring out his cape while walking. This resulted in him stumbling into a particularly deep puddle and nearly losing a boot to the mud's hungry embrace. "Fresh start, fresh identity. We need a name that says we are professional, capable, and not the people who accidentally burned down that lighthouse." "That was a structural failure," Fizzle chirped. "The fire just highlighted it. Very educational, really. For the survivors." "There were no survivors," Nix reminded her. "It was a lighthouse. It was unmanned. The seagulls survived. Mostly." Bash, trudging through the muck like a green landslide, rumbled a low sound that might have been agreement or might have been indigestion. His massive form carved a path through the storm with the inevitability of continental drift. "A name is just a word," he said thoughtfully. "A turnip by any other name would still be a root vegetable. But Crown Tankard does rhyme with drowned standard. See?" Roland pointed a gauntlet finger at the half-orc. The gesture would have been more impressive if his gauntlet hadn't immediately filled with rainwater. Bash sees the poetry in it. "He rhymed it with drowned," Nix pointed out. "Look around you, Roland. The universe is agreeing with him." Bash nodded solemnly. "Squelch goes the leather," he intoned, each word heavy with meaning. "My toes swim in sadness. Nature hates us all." They had been walking for 3 hours along a road that was theoretically a trade route but was currently identifying as a river. Perhaps walking was generous. Waiting was more accurate, and existing in a state of perpetual dampness was probably the most honest description. They were cold, they were wet, and they had exactly 3 copper pieces between them, mostly because Fizzle had melted the silver ones in an experiment to see if money could burn. The 100 gold from their last job had gone straight to replacing Roland's armor, which he had lost in a volcano. Long story, the new set was cheaper, shinier, and made sounds like an enthusiastic percussion section whenever he moved. It was, he insisted, an upgrade. Result: yes, and it smells expensive. Also, molten silver is difficult to spend at most reputable establishments. The map says we should be near a crossroads, Roland announced, pulling out a sodden piece of parchment that immediately began to dissolve in his hands. The map said we should be near a lake 2 hours ago, Nick said. We were in a wheat field. The map is optimistic. The map is fiction. I believe in the map. The map does not believe in us, Roland. Look, the ink is running. That symbol there used to be a town. Now it's a blob. We are navigating by blob. Suddenly, a shape emerged from the gray curtain of rain. It was a horse, looking thoroughly miserable. The animal's eyes held the specific despair of a creature that had been promised oats and instead received weather. Its mane was plastered to its neck, its tail drooped like a surrender flag, and it walked with the plodding resignation of something that had accepted its fate. On top of the horse was a man looking even worse. He wore a courier's uniform that had seen better days, possibly before it had been dragged through a hedge backwards, set on fire, and then used to mop up a tavern floor. He squinted at them, water dripping from his nose in a steady stream. "Ho there!" Roland bellowed, instantly striking a pose. He slipped slightly in the mud but recovered with a spin that he hoped looked intentional. His boot made a sound like a disappointed frog. "Traveler, you face the Order of the Crown Tankard." The courier blinked. He wiped his face. He pulled a sodden scroll from a waterproof leather tube, the only dry thing within visible distance. He squinted at the scroll, then at Roland, then at the mud-caked armor, then at the daggers on the woman's belt, then at the massive green figure with a small head poking out of his backpack. "Crowned Tankard?" the courier asked, his voice carrying the weariness of a man who had stopped being surprised by anything approximately 3 hours ago. "Indeed," Roland beamed. "You have heard of us? I was told to look for the Order of the Crowned." The courier tilted the scroll. A large smudge of ink obscured the last word, bleeding into the margin like a crime scene. "Something. Ledger. Legend. Larder. Links." He looked at Roland's armor, which was currently serving as a rust nursery. He looked at Nyx's daggers, which were somehow still gleaming despite the weather. He looked at the smoking gnome in the backpack. "You look like an order," he admitted. "We are the order," Roland confirmed with the confidence of a man who had never let facts interfere with dignity. "Right? Close enough." The courier thrust the scroll at Roland with the desperate energy of someone offloading a problem. "Delivery for you. Urgent. High priority. This was supposed to reach you 3 days ago. Damn storm shut down every courier station between here and the capital." He wiped rain from his face with a sleeve that was already more water than fabric. "The host paid triple to get it through today because the event is tonight. So if you're going, go now. Don't tip me. Just let me go. This horse hates me." He paused. "More than usual, I mean, horses and I have a complicated history. But this one has started making plans. I can see it in his eyes." Before Roland could even reach for a coin he didn't have, the courier kicked his horse and splashed away into the gloom, the sound of retreating hoofbeats mixing with what might have been maniacal laughter or just hysterical relief. "Friendly service," Fizzle observed. "I'd rate it 4 flames out of 5. Roland held the scroll like it was a holy relic. Water dripped from the edges, but the seal remained intact, a testament to the craftsmanship of whatever poor bastard had been assigned to weatherproof it. He broke the wax seal, which was gold and stamped with a crest that looked vaguely like a badger eating a monocle. Or possibly a monocle eating a badger. The heraldry was unclear. "What is it?" Fizzle asked, climbing out of the backpack and nearly setting Bash's hair on fire. A small blue flame danced on her fingertip as she tried to get a better look. "Is it a contract? Is it treasure? Is it finally an apology from that wizard I set on fire?" "It is an invitation," Roland breathed, his voice hushed with wonder, "to Babington Manor, for a grand unveiling and dinner." "Dinner?" Bash perked up. His stomach rumbled, a sound like distant thunder, or possibly contributing to the actual thunder. It was hard to tell. "Indoors?" Fizzle asked, her eyes wide with hope. The flame on her finger flared brighter. Suspicious, Nix added, because she had a reputation to maintain. It says, Roland read, holding the paper at an angle to catch the dying light. To the esteemed members of the Order of the Crowned. He squinted. Smudge, your reputation for... that bit's completely illegible. It looks like someone sneezed on it. Precedes you. We require your unique talents. Your attendance is expected on the evening of the 14th. He looked up. That's tonight. 3 days late, Nick said. The courier said the storm held it up. Whoever sent this wanted us there days ago. Roland turned the paper over, as if expecting a joke to be hiding on the back. Signed, Sir Babington. Nix snatched the paper. Her eyes scanned it with the speed of someone who had spent years reading contracts for hidden clauses and buried knives. He thinks we're someone else. Crowned Ledger, probably. They're that group from the capital who audit dragons for tax fraud. Dragons don't pay taxes, Roland said. That's rather the point of the audits. Or, Roland said, taking the paper back with wounded dignity, our fame has finally spread. Crown Tankard is a name that travels. Roland, the ink is smudged. He invited the crown something. We are the crowned mistake. I prefer crowned opportunity, Fizzle suggested. There is food, Bash rumbled. The words carrying the weight of a man who had been eating trail rations for 3 days. And a roof. And presumably walls. Walls that do not leak. Nix looked at the rain, which showed no signs of relenting. She looked at the mud, which was developing ambitions toward swamphood. She looked at the invitation, which smelled faintly of expensive perfume and roasted duck. Her stomach, traitor that it was, made a sound that definitely wasn't a growl. Fine, she sighed. The word dragged from her like a confession. But when they realize we aren't tax auditors and kick us out, I'm stealing the silverware. That, Roland said, brightening like a particularly optimistic sunrise, is the spirit. Onward, friends, to destiny, and potentially duck, to the duck. Fizzle cheered, flames dancing between her fingers. To dry socks, Bash added reverently. Gerald the goat, who had been invisible until this moment, suddenly appeared on top of a nearby milestone. He bleated judgmentally, the sound of millennia of goat evolution distilled into a single note of disapproval, and then ate the courier's wax seal. He chewed thoughtfully, considering the flavor profile. He's judging us, Fizzle observed. He is always judging us, Bash confirmed. It is his way. Well, Nix muttered, pulling her cloak tighter against the rain. At least someone in this group has standards. They set off toward the manor, leaving behind a puddle, a dissolving map, and the faint impression that somewhere, somehow, the universe was laughing at them. Gerald bleated once more, a sound that, if one were inclined toward mysticism, might have been interpreted as a warning. But nobody speaks goat.